We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 32 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. And we're here today to help you find space for reflection, inspiration, and honoring of your spirit. And joining us is a fierce servant leader. So let's learn a little bit more about Dr. Aida Molina. You know, before retiring after nearly three decades as an education leader, Dr. Molina was the Director of Education at the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence. They call that the CCEE. And along with the CCEE team, she planned and executed the pilot project of providing multi-year technical assistance to local education agencies. And this would inform long-term efforts in advising and assisting school districts, county offices of education, and charter schools in establishing a system of continuous improvement across the state of California. You know, Aida was also appointed as a member of the California State Board of Education for 5 years. And while serving as the Assistant Superintendent of Academic Improvement and Accountability for Bakersfield City School District, she held the positions of a bilingual classroom teacher, vice principal, principal, and district administrator across various districts in California. She was also appointed to the Commission on Teacher Credentialing and served a 3-year term. Her work as an educator and student advocate is centered on improving the conditions in which all students can achieve and succeed. She is driven by issues of social justice. That's where I met this amazing leader, and is committed to creating systemic changes that prepare students for college and career readiness. Aida's passion for student learning is based on the premise that all children are entitled to the finest public education. And she has led various districts in professional development of teachers and administrators for strategies that include academic achievement, closing of gaps. And in 2002, she published her work entitled Grade Level Teams, Key to Equity and Excellence. Aida holds a doctorate of philosophy in education from the Claremont Graduate University. You know, that's my favorite, Keisha. A Master of Arts degree in Educational Administration from California State University, Sacramento, and a Bachelor of Arts degree in Liberal Studies from California State University, Sacramento. She is one of my heroes and my mujer.
Oh, my goodness. And I have used so many of your strategies already. The teaming was a key strategy we used in Nashville as a turnaround strategy. So yay, Aida. I'm so glad I get to meet the thinker of that. We're so lucky to have you in our community. Each week, Aida, we explore models of leadership together, and we focus on what we like to call a pattern of M. We're going to trademark that. Asking our guests who their role models are and how they have impacted your life. And then we ask you to consider your mentors and then your reflection in the mirror, any movements that we should be watching, and any mavericks.
Keisha, hold on, though. We don't want to miss any of those edubable moments either. And, you know, I got tongue twisted myself on a couple. There's this thing that was called California Collaborative for Educational Excellence, CCEE. That's a mouthful, right? But it sounds pretty innovative and it sounds like a really responsive model. So, Dr. Molina, welcome to the Honor Roll. Can you help us figure out what is this CCEE thing we're talking about? We don't want any edubabble that leaves our listeners wondering.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank you both and this opportunity to be able to share these wonderful thoughts and this incredible opportunity. I can't thank you enough. You know, CCEE is a state agency that had, frankly, a new state agency that has been charged with growing and strengthening California's innovative system of support to help deliver California's promise of quality and equitable education for every student. It's an organization, although fairly new. It is really partnering with various organizations, the Department of Education. It partners with county offices really to help build the capacity to ensure coherence and consistency in our public school system, something that we desperately need. And it has been an honor for me to be able to work on the onset of this organization and excited to see the many changes that have been happening in the system. And Frances, I understand you're also helping with that as well, and very excited to have so many people join forces for California's promise, and we're going to get our kids educated. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have just another layer to the kind of the system of supports for districts and ultimately for our kids. And I think you can never do too much to help a child be the best that they can be and a teacher be the best that they can be. So thanks so much for conceptualizing that and making it come to life. And Frances, thank you for all the great things that you do, not only for California, but she's kind of all around AIDA. She gets everywhere. So let's, and thanks for that explanation. So we're going to kind of move into our famous M's, and I'm going to start with role models. Who are your role models and why?
You know, Keisha, I have been so fortunate to have incredible role models at every stage of my life. As a young child, getting into adulthood through my high school, college years, and particularly in my professional life. But my greatest role model of all is my mother. My mother was a woman who was not only very strict, very faithful, but an incredible woman of strength. She was a woman who believed that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. She was a woman who was fearless in many ways, not afraid to tackle any situation, regardless of how bad it was. And she was someone who would inspire me all the time when I was feeling like things couldn't get done. She just kind of whipped it out. And there was never feeling sorry for AIDA. It's, look, this is the way we're going to do it. This is the way it is. And get over it, girl. But one of the things that I remember the most that has always stayed in my mind, and I'll give you an example of restraint. My mother worked in a packing house, and in this packing house, you could not be pregnant because of the belts that go quickly with the chilies that they had to peel and pack. Reminds me of the movie I Love Lucy, where she's eating the chocolates, and I could just envision my mother working in this factory. But she would fail to tell her employer that she was pregnant, because if you were pregnant, you could not be working. So she would layer clothes on the onset of the beginning of the season so that she would look heavy. So by the time she was 4, 5, 6 months pregnant, guess what? Nobody would know. So it was really in her 7th or 8th month, she finally got caught. And this particular incident, she gets caught, she gets fired, she's in major trouble, and she's out of a job. At that time, she had, of course, I mean, both incomes were very necessary for our home. And she decided, okay, I got fired, but there's another way to do this work. She started to sell tacos and burritos out of the trunk of her car to the same employee. So she'd still show up to work every morning like she used to. She'd open up her trunk, and at every break, lunch, and afternoon, guess what? She was selling to her colleagues or employees her specialty. She gets caught again, gets arrested because she doesn't have a license. And so she says, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. So this incident was an impetus for her to open up her business, open up her restaurant. And she named her restaurant El Torito because she had 9 toritos at home that she had to feed. When I reflect on that experience and I remember the struggles, she never saw them as struggles. She saw them as opportunities. So by far, my hero. I also like to talk about who in my professional life, although she probably doesn't even know this about me, really highly influenced me in my professional life. And that is Sandra Sanchez Thorntonson, superintendent of the Unified School District. Her way of leading change and making sure that children had access to every single opportunity was really something that has stuck with me for a very long time. And I saw her work with unions and community and parents and children. I mean, she's awesome in working with kids, but her method of how she led will always be someone deep in my heart that I hope I can, well, I've tried to mimic her, but she's pretty tough to meet, you know. In any event, incredible woman, incredible person who has done much for her community.
You know, you're getting me excited about restaurants and perseverance. And I'm thinking about one of the restaurants that Keisha knows I love a good quote, where I go to and they hand you a Rumi book and you open it up. And there's a quote that reminds me of what you've just shared about your role models. And it's one from Rumi. And it says, in this remarkable and inspiring reflection that you've shared, that we see you. And he says that we are born of love and love is our mother. So definitely the love that you exude is definitely guided by what you've shared with your mother's story. And so as you think about shifting from role models, who are some of the mentors who have also guided you in your journey?
Great question. I believe we all have mentors at different parts of our times of our lives. And once again, I've been very fortunate to have strong mentors in my life. But by far, I have to say, the greatest mentor and the strongest mentor of my life is my husband. My husband is also very similar to my mom in that he's a man of faith, a man who believes in his family and the strength of his family and, most important, service. And he modeled that for each and one of us, our friends, our family, our children, and really gave this type of energy that I don't know that I've ever felt or seen before. He was my inspiration. He is the one who allowed me to believe, to say that, again, as my mom would say, anything is possible if you put your mind to it, girl, and really helped me to do the things that, and do my dreams and wishes. I was very fortunate to have someone in my life at every step of my way who said, girl, you want to do it? I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you. I'm here to do whatever it's going to take to make it happen. In addition to my husband, and I could talk about him forever, is a woman who came into my life when I was a young principal. Her name is Michelle, well, was Michelle Carnes. And when I met her, I at first struggled with her way of delivering messages. But later I learned that the reason and her purpose was really for us to really think about the work that we were doing, how we were approaching children, how we were allowing ourselves to give every child an opportunity, but more important, a voice. So she became a very strong mentor for me because she helped me understand that leadership is not about telling or doing, but really about modeling and about being there for the people that you believe can do everything that's possible to do for kids. She was someone of social who believed in and fought hard for racial injustice. Sometimes she would say things in areas that I would think, oh, I don't think I have the courage to say that. But when you see someone speak that way and you see the audience and the impactful feeling that you get, you realize that sometimes honesty, it really is the way to go. And taking those risks are important.
You know, when I think of your role model and your mentors, one word that I feel is resonating is determination. They were determined to see you reach your peak of success. And I know whether they're on this earth or not now, they are seeing your success and they are proud of it.
Thank you, Keisha.
So let me ask you this question. When you look in the mirror, at what point did you see a leader looking back at you?
Interesting question. You know, Keisha, in my life, I don't know that we are taught to necessarily look in the mirror. And I don't know that, although now I think about it more often, but I would say that very young in age, whether I was at home or a new job or school, I often asked to do things. I wasn't quite sure that I understood why I was asked to do these things. But luckily, maybe I always used to think it was because of my work ethic. Maybe it was because I either was overzealous or, but in any event, I had the opportunity to do many things. And one of the incidents that I remember, it's very deep in my heart, and it seems like even yesterday, is when I was a first-year teacher. And as I was a first-year teacher and I was teaching third grade, I was with colleagues that had experience of over 15-plus years. So I was a bit threatened by sitting in this group of teachers and wondering when I was asked to lead a book study and to talk about data, which is a very threatening piece of information to do. But at the time, I was humbled to be asked to be able to do this. But we were able to sit down and I had to really think about how I was going to approach this. How does a new teacher lead a book study? How does a new teacher talk about students' outcomes? And how does a new teacher talk about using data to help us improve our practice? And frankly, Keisha, I was scared. I thought I'm not sure that I can lead this. But I was fortunate enough to reflect on my mother again and say, I have an opportunity. We're going to work with this. And as I look back and thinking about looking in the mirror, I realized that if I focus on their strengths and if I focus on developing this relationship of trust, we're going to be able to do some good work. And frankly, and fortunately for me, we did embrace the concept of collaboration. We embraced the concept of looking at data. We embraced the concept of not feeling threatened about the outcomes, but rather use this outcome to help us guide our instruction. So that was really exciting and humbling, to tell you the truth. At the end of the day, I realized, wow, this is amazing. So I think you mentioned the question about looking in the mirror. That's what comes to my mind at this moment.
Yeah. And you are a powerful woman. And when you look in that mirror, these stories of your mother come through, these stories of Michelle come through, these stories of love are reflected back to your family. And so much of that strength is your womanhood. And so I'm curious, how do you see women changing the world, knowing, of course, that you're one of them?
You know, I think women have been changing the world for a long time. We're not always talking about them. And yet we have powerful women everywhere. I think there isn't any one of us who do not become who we are without some other strong person behind us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that today, particular today, we have women leading government. We have a vice president that's a female. We have Supreme Court justice sitting on the bench. We have women who are preaching. We have women who have this incredible talent. Everywhere you look and turn a page of a newspaper or listen to the radio, and it's so exciting to hear. I get so motivated. You can see that I'm very excited right now. So motivated that women are now becoming more open and able to talk about the things that we need to do and take roles of leadership in government. Our superintendents, more women are becoming, particularly in this sign of the times, it is very difficult to be in a role of leadership. And yet they're at the forefront. And why? Because they believe that they can be not only role models for others, but more importantly, to help our youth to be able to do and follow their dreams.
Can you think of any that are mavericks who are really disrupting or disturbing the system that we need to be paying attention to, that, you know, they might be doing something now and we know 5-10 years from now, we're like, wow, if they hadn't done that, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Well, you know, anyone who's fighting for social justice are my heroes. And I think some of our mavericks right now, I think I just mentioned it, really are our Supreme Court justice females. You know, I'm reading Ruth Bader Ginsburg's book, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to read it, and if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. A powerful woman who, in her time, really struggled, and I felt like if anybody was a maverick, she was. Worked hard to be able, again, to look for, to support the rights of justice and how we go about doing that. And so I'm closely studying Sonia Sotomayor, who I'm very excited about, Elena Kagan. I think these are women who, especially right now, we should be paying attention, and our youth should be listening to them. And I just believe that they're just mavericks.
Yeah, absolutely. Their point of views really lift up what they say is that Jedi mindset, right? Justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. So maybe some new meaning for our listeners as they think about what is a Jedi, right? And so as we think about this work, you know, Aida, you have such a sense of spirituality, of conviction, of determination, as we heard earlier. And I'm wondering, you know, what do you do to take care of yourself? What are their self-care routines? It's so hard for us as women, but what do you do? What's some insight that our listeners might learn from?
You know, Frances, it's not a lesson that I do well, particularly while I was working. It was very, very difficult. I was going to school. I was a new assistant superintendent. I was on the State Board of Education. I have four children, a husband, just life in general. It was very, very difficult. And frankly, if I look back and reflect, it was very difficult for me. And I can't really say that I balanced it well. But I do remember telling myself that there was that in order for me to get my day going, in order to set things straight for myself, I made myself early on walk every morning. It could be raining, and I had the hood on, and I was walking, and I would spend that time, I would give myself 45 minutes to an hour every single morning, regardless of where I was. When I was traveling, I still managed to get up in the morning. Walking helped me do a couple things. First and foremost, it allowed me to bring peace within myself, put myself in prayer, allowed myself to just be thankful for everything that I had and how I was going to approach the day. And really to be grateful, to say thank you to all those who were, you know, allowing me the time to juggle my life. So walking was very powerful for me. And it was a routine that even today I do. I start my day every single morning going out for a walk and reflecting what happened yesterday, reflecting on what could I do better, reflecting on, you know, the beauty that surrounds me, because if you look, there is always something beautiful to see. So I really encourage all of women to take some time without feeling guilty. I think because I would get up really early in the morning, it would kind of remove the guilt feeling. So that was kind of helpful. The other thing that I did, and I really was a saving grace, is my husband and I would plan this date night. Regardless of what day, we committed to a date night once a week. And if I was out of town, we would meet halfway from where he was and where I was so that we could commit to each other and reconnect. And it was really a very powerful moment of my week and something that I will cherish forever.
That sounds amazing. The walks sound incredible. And the date night is something I'm still waiting for my husband to ask me out on.
You got to set it up, Keisha.
I know. I guess I got to take charge and just set it up.
And that Outlook calendar appointment now.
I know, right? Can you come to our date night? Well, we're going to move to some perspective taking insights that we like to engage in to finish off our podcast. And we're going to ask you to finish a thought. So here is the first one, an event that changed my world view.
Well, Keisha, most recently an event that changed my world view was my husband, my best friend, who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. in 2019. It was the most difficult time of my life, most difficult year, and yet the most beautiful time. Eli was, as I mentioned before, was a man of faith, and he, although his illness came harsh and fast and furious, he was a man who didn't complain. He was a man who always saw joy and purpose and beauty in life. And so we spent that last year and a few months really learning to reflect on the gifts that we received, to reflect on how fortunate we were as a couple, as a family, as a service, doing the things that we love to do to service in our community. And there were times, Keisha, that the news of COVID-19 and all the negative that was happening and the fear that was occurring and my husband's illness, sometimes it would just take me down. And when that would happen, I'm laughing because he would say, "Hey, if you're not laughing, you're not living." And he would just constantly remind me that no matter what is happening in the world, we all have an important part to play. And when we focus on that important part, whether it's serving others, whether it's doing for self, whether it's doing for your community, remember that there is a purpose and why we're here. And so this question is a thought-provoking question, and I believe that it has changed my worldview in that I see life differently. I see it with the lens that life is a gift, and we don't know how long we're going to have that gift. But if we focus on, as Eli used to say, yesterday was history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a present. So experiencing that time with my husband, thinking about all the things that happened in COVID-19, and knowing where I am today, I am grateful that I have that gift.
And you have given a gift to all of us by sharing that story of joy and love. We need so much more of that in our world. And I know it shapes who we are to hear these stories and live this shared experience with you. You know, you had a lot of courage in sharing that. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you. You know, love never leaves us. Love never leaves us. It's always with us. You know, so I do have a sentence starter too. Are you ready? Here we go. I don't know if I should even ask after the story of strength you just shared, but how about this one? I became a stronger person after.
Well, definitely I became a stronger person after experiencing what has happened in my life, no doubt. As I just said earlier, I reflect on every day where I am, what I'm here for, and what is my purpose. But I want to also share a story that changed my life, and that is learning to do what's in front of me. And as I just reflected on my experience with my husband, what does that mean for me is that sometimes you get so caught up in world issues or home or family or life in general, and we keep thinking that I've got 1,000 things I have to get done, you know? And what I've learned that if I spend more time saying, what is it that I need to do now? As I reflect on that statement, I think about going to school and the different responsibilities that I had as a wife and a mother and a educator. And I just realized that, you know, you will juggle and you do juggle because that's the women that we are. But what's most important? And so I learned to focus on that. And once I learned to focus to do what's in front of me, that's when life became a little simpler, a little that I do or be able to do. I remember saying to myself, how am I going to get through college, you know, 6 years of a PhD program or 4 years of a PhD program? You ask yourself that, and I would have to reflect and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I have to do today. And the more I do that, the more peace I'm in my heart, the more I really get done, and the better I do things. Mm-hmm. So do what's in front of you.
You know, there's a saying, how do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, one bite at a time.
It's going to take you a long time, but it's one bite at a time.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about this one? My life improved when I...
My life improved when I slowed down, Keisha. Mm. My life improved when, as I said earlier, when I became more reflective. My life improved when I realized that my faith is important to me, my family is important to me. You know, when you go through an experience of losing someone, things change. And you have a choice. You have a choice to see things bleak, or you have a choice to see joy and beauty around you. And so I think my life improved when I was able to do that, do it honestly, to look in the mirror and see the things that were happening that were good, to look in the mirror and to be able to say and reflect, you know, today I was able to help someone or to give a gift of laughter or to be with my children or to talk about education. I always get excited about doing that. So I think that experience, and also when I retired, I think my life improved, obviously having the opportunity to take care of my husband. And now, you know, taking care of his beautiful garden that took 19 years to take care of, and going out there and cutting the flowers and pruning the trees and learning how to play. It's amazing. You know, going outside today when it was raining, and just when I had to just stop and look for a moment and seeing rain, but also leaves of rain. And I just thought, this is beautiful. So
yeah.
Take a look every day to the beauty in life.
Those mindful moments. Definitely think about positive psychology and just finding the love and mindfulness in the space each and every day helps us see that beauty. You know, you mentioned juggling, and I was talking with a colleague yesterday, and she says, all I do is juggle. And she says, but here's what I've learned about juggling. Some of the balls that I juggle are fragile, and some of them actually bounce. So what I've learned in this work, much like you've shared, is that the fragile ones I got to hold on to more carefully, but the other ones, sometimes I could just let them bounce and learn that, you know what, it's going to be okay. And so it sounds like you have found a really great way to think about juggling and seeing the beauty in that. So a final question for you from me, a decision that changed your life. Ooh, I'm ready for this one. I wish I had a bottle of wine or a good cup of coffee with you over this one.
Oh gosh. Decision to change my life was saying yes to my husband when he asked me to marry him. You know, as I said to you, Eli was my mentor, my hero. And frankly, he was the reason why, aside from our God, he was the reason why I became an educator. He is the reason why I got to go to school. He is the reason why I was able to do my dreams come true. You know, I was married, had children. And one day I came home and I said, you know, I really want to go back to school. And he says, do it. What's keeping you? And I said, a job, children, responsibility, and all the reasons why I didn't think I could do that. He said, look, we could figure this out. Go and sign up and do it. And, you know, it's interesting. I was frightened to do that. And so he said, just go get the paperwork, get yourself enrolled, and you're going to be fine. First day of school comes and he says, you ready? And I said, I don't even know where the classrooms are. And I kid you not. He says, okay, we'll go before school starts. We'll walk and we'll find every single classroom. I've never been in a campus before. I've never been in a college campus. And so, you know, when you think that those are such minor little details, they're really not. And so I can say that my life changed forever. He taught me how to love. He taught me how to make God first. He taught me the beauty of service. Francis, what more can I say? I could talk forever, but I'm going to cut right there.
Well, there is no doubt in knowing what I know and what you have shared that you were also that determined spirit for him. And gosh, what a joy to have peered into your story of love, your story of family, and also the story of resilience and changing community and being incredibly efficacious as a woman. You know, I have learned so much from you. You have shared so much of your learning with many. And it's now that special time in the podcast where I put my dear friend, Dr. Keisha Ray, on the spot to say, Keisha, I'm checking for understanding. You know, you've been talking about bringing these practices into your life each and every day. So what walk away are you going to have from our dear colleague and Shiro here, Aida?
Aida, every single podcast, I get tested. And what I have learned from you, my new friend, is this. First of all, I have known your work before I've known you. So all of the things that you have published and put into the education universe, I have put into practice in transforming schools and districts. And I thank you for that. And I thank you on behalf of all the other superintendents who have done the same thing. So you never know, like Francis says, that pebble or boulder that you drop, the impact it's going to have. And you probably didn't think it was going to have that big of an impact, but it has. It's changed many, 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 many districts and children's lives. I feel like you focused on continuous improvement before it was cool to focus on continuous improvement. Now everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm in continuous improvement. But I'm sure when you started having those conversations, they were probably like, you know that Aida, she can't stop talking about improvement. Should we invite her to the next meeting? But I'm so thankful that you did. I think a lot of that is from your mom, who showed you how challenges are really opportunities. And so when you see a challenge, you embrace it as an opportunity. And you've demonstrated that throughout your career in every aspect of your work, in every kind of decade of your work. I think that you are a determined person and that you are determined to see others succeed who are around you in a very caring and loving way. I love your walks for reflection. I love your love story. It's such a gift to find your soulmate. It really is. And not everybody finds it. Not everybody finds their soulmate. And it's just such a gift to find. I'm so glad you did. I'm glad I have. And we're going to find Francis's. Because that person is out there for Francis.
And y'all are my soulmates.
If you are listening to this podcast and you want to be Francis's soulmate,
oh, let's stop that now.
The hashtag is TL Honor Roll.
Way to go.
No, it's just so, it's such a special gift to find that person. And it's like finding a diamond in the rough. It really is. And when you find them, you know it. And you hang on to them. You don't let them go. You're like, nope, you're mine. And that sounds like what you guys did. And your story is just beautiful and precious. I'm so sorry you lost him. But you know he's not gone forever. And he's left a part of him here. And you will see him again. I know you will. So his present to all of us via this podcast is, if you're not laughing, you're not living. So thank you, Eli, for sharing that with our listeners. And I'm wondering, do you have any final words that you want to share with our listeners, or maybe even something you tell your younger self?
I say this often, and I say it to anyone who's willing to hear. First, follow your passion. Do what burns in your belly, because life is too short. And if you're in a place where you're unhappy, if you're in a place where things aren't going the way you would like them to be, I really, really encourage you to think about finding that passion. It doesn't matter what it is. I say this to our youth especially. You're young and you're excited and you think you're going to do X, and perhaps you will. But as you start to do that, think about, does it resonate? Does it make me happy? Does it make me laugh? Does it give me joy? Does it really burn in my belly? And if it does, I encourage you to do it. And don't let anything get in your way, because anything is possible if you put your mind, your heart, and your mind, heart, and soul to do it. And again, I'll remind us that today is a gift. And so take that gift and explode.
You know, thank you so much, Dr. Molina, for the gift that you've given us today. We always talk about our listeners taking a walk, and definitely maybe you'll take a walk and listen to your own podcast and hear the beautiful words and sentiments that you've shared with so many. You know, another idea is, you know, in memory of your dear Eli, he always said, have a Friday. You know, so maybe enjoy this podcast with your friends and reflect on, you know, the story of love in your life and those connections and the way that we impact not only the personal love in our life, but the love for community and the love for education, and how we really have that spirit of putting students and those that we care about at the center, and then really designing a life around those opportunities. You know, we can't thank you enough for the ideas that you've shared and the ways that you share them, and the love and vulnerability in the storytelling. You know, I have a coaching question for us to continue thinking about. And so maybe on that Eli Friday moment, here's how it might go. You ready? The coaching question. How might you find your joy in the difficult, inspirational, and loving ways during your life journey? So again, for our listening audience, our coaching question is, how might you find your joy in the difficult, inspirational, and loving ways during your life journey, inspired by the Molina family?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And we can't wait to see the responses to that in our hashtag. So I want to thank you, Aida, for being such a wonderful guest to us today and sharing your beautiful love story and your beautiful career story, and just having such an impact on this planet. So thank you so much. And thanks for being part of our Honor Roll community. And I want to thank our listeners for being part of our community as active listeners, and encourage them to join our next podcast, where we're going to highlight another Shero in education and explore their M's together. And don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Roll, R-O-L-E, and respond to the coaching question that Francis just shared. And until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Francis Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.